Be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 tonight, and I'll just share a couple quick thoughts that I hope will be an encouragement to each and every one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And when you turn there, we'll go ahead and start in verse number 6. Word of God says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. There's a message of really hope and comfort in this passage, which the Apostle Paul had for the saints at Thessalonica specifically. And it's found in verse 7. And there he writes again, he says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Now, you can't help but notice that there's a stark contrast presented in that one statement there. The word troubled here means to crowd or to press with anxiety. That's what the Greek word there means. It's a description of pressure. And pressure that's increasingly violent, increasingly growing violent, kind of like the toilet paper aisle at Costco, for example. But imagine, if you would, someone being in a situation where they are surrounded perhaps by an angry mob who is pressing upon them. And this isn't like a so-called Twitter mob, which can be avoided by just deleting one's presence from Twitter and disappearing, right? This is a physical mob from which there is no escape. Tension is mounting, and perhaps they are beginning to call for this individual's harm. That's really the idea behind that word troubled here. But the total opposite is found in the word rest, which Paul also uses in this same passage. That Greek word means to relax, to have relief, to have no pressure, no trouble, no anxiety at all. Maybe the best way for us to think about this word, the best illustration, would be to picture whatever it is for us that relaxes us, that gives us rest, a moment without any worries, a moment without any stress, without any tension or anxiety at all. Maybe that, like me, for you, is being at the beach, being at a section of the coast where there is nobody else for miles, right? Where it's just you, your feet in the sand, the water, and you've got your social distancing going on. It's just perfect. The ocean, the sound of the ocean. One word describes trouble. The other word describes serenity. One word describes difficulty, while the other one describes relaxation, really. Anxiety versus rest. It's an incredible difference when you think about it. Total opposites. Total and complete opposites. But the question which many people ask, the question which comes to many people's minds is, how does one know? How does one have this kind of rest in a world which is filled with so much anxiety? I mean, think about how many people are anxious and troubled about so many things, just pertaining to what's going on right now, right? Family issues, health matters, global news, national strife, political drama, financial troubles, many other things, all relating to just COVID-19. Much of what we are anxious about, in fact, is out of our hands, isn't it? Much of what we are anxious about, even without COVID-19 in life, is out of our hands. Even if you sit in the pew right now and you say, you know what, that's not me. I'm cool. I don't have any anxiety about any of this whatsoever. There's no denying what some of us may be feeling deep down about some things, questions about some things, wondering about some things, a nervousness about something. It could be something in our personal life pertaining to this, something distantly related to it, something that troubles us. And so again, how do we have this rest in a world full of trouble? Look back with me, if you would, at verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In other words, be reminded, Paul says, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And when he does, everything will be made right. The word revealed here comes from the Greek word apokalypsis. It means to appear or to be made manifest. It's the same word translated revelation multiple times throughout the Word of God, including in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Where the Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. It's the unveiling of him that will come to pass one day. He will set all things right in this world, and he will rule. You see, beloved, all of the things which we worry about, all of the things which trouble us right now, or when there isn't some kind of national health emergency, national financial emergency, whatever it is, those things won't even be a memory one day. In fact, notice what else Paul goes on to write about this coming day. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture states that God, in a flaming fire, God will take vengeance. And there are two reasons given as to why he will take vengeance. Why in a flaming fire God will take vengeance? For one thing, they persecuted the people of God. That's one reason. Verse 6, Paul elaborates on this. He says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. God's people are persecuted. But then also, the other reason is because they obeyed not the gospel of Christ. As Paul just stated in verse 8, again, he says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the world doesn't understand this. Society doesn't understand this. And because of this, they consider God to be cruel, evil, vindictive. There are some who think that persecuting Christians, persecuting believers, is acceptable. Because after all, the views of said Christians are just so bigoted, right? Just so hate-mongering. Fortunately, you know, there aren't many like that, you know, at least doesn't seem to be, but the loud ones are there, the vocal ones, right? They get the screen time, don't they? And this should come as no surprise to any of us. Furthermore, to the world, obeying not the gospel of Christ is just a matter of personal opinion and feeling. What they feel right, what they feel isn't right. It's a choice dependent upon what they feel is right. Look at verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Herein lies the great difference. The great difference. The world, society, hates him, hates his truth. But we as his people admire him. We admire him because of what he has done for us. We admire him because of what he has given to us. Look at verse 2. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. You see, beloved, where society is so confused by him or despises him, we will and do glorify and admire him for his exceeding grace to us. Many in society think that he was just a good teacher, maybe a good man who did wonders or didn't do wonders, whatever. They don't see him as God in human flesh who came and died for their sins. And still others, maybe they see him as some supernatural thing or as God, but they believe that they can still attain his grace through their good works if their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds. I dare say that is where many people would admittedly fall today, is in one of those two categories probably, deceived. And there are, of course, also those who just completely despise everything about Christ and his word. And they are loud, and they are noticed. And Scripture tells us this, where men and women, where they naturally fall, whether they admit it or not, because of our nature, because of our sin nature. It is where we were at one time as we were lost in our sin and warring against God. Even if we didn't realize to what extent we were at war against him or how much we despised his standard of right and wrong, it is still true. To the church at Rome, Paul wrote that our carnal mind is enmity against God, meaning that it is an open hostility against him. That, ladies and gentlemen, is in large part why there is so much persecution against God's people in other parts of the world. Why there is so much blatant disobedience against what God's word says is right and good in our society. We live in a world today which says, in which men and women do indeed call good evil and evil good. Think too of the persecution against believers in many parts of the globe for their faith, for their beliefs, and yet they continue to follow Christ. We oftentimes, we allow the slightest trouble in life to derail us completely. Look with me at the next chapter. Chapter 2, verse 2. Notice Paul says that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. These believers had been convinced that they missed the return of Christ. A fake letter had been sent to them, evidently, with Paul's signature forged on it. And it stated that Christ had evidently come back. And as you can imagine, they were troubled by this, as Paul states. They were shaken by it. They were troubled by what that letter contained. Look in verse 15 of that same chapter. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through Christ, through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The word of Christ enables us to stand fast, even as the deceitful words and disobedient actions of men and women may try to shake us, even as persecution may at some point or in parts of the world try to shake us, even as different things going on in the world, different health emergencies, different financial problems may try to shake us, his word is always true. His word is always true. As Pastor shared the verses a moment ago, verses that give comfort, verses that remind us of peace, that remind us what we have in Christ. Look again at our text, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. You know what that means? It means that like each and every one of the Lord Jesus' other promises, his promise to return is one which will come to pass. Paul says he shall be revealed from heaven. But there's more. Notice verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Not only will he be revealed with his mighty angels, but in that day, ladies and gentlemen, he will also be glorified in us, in his saints. And Paul states that the Lord Jesus would be glorified in the believers at Thessalonica because they believed in Christ, but also in all them that believe, meaning us as well as them. Think about this for just a moment. That means that all of the troubles and difficulties that we go through, the economy and questions about it, health and questions about that, different things the media is talking about, different things politicians are talking about, all of these different things, curfews in the city of Palm Beach, all these different things, regardless of their origin, nothing that we go through in life, nothing when all of this passes, and it will pass, nothing that we go through in life in the future, it won't mean a thing one day. When Christ returns for us and we are with him, all of the things which may have caused us anxiety now, none of them will matter. So instead of letting financial matters or health issues or global problems or national strife make us anxious, as God's people, maybe we should focus more on ensuring that our lives as his children bring glory and honor to him. In fact, that is the very point that Paul was driving at. Look at verse 12 and we'll close. He says, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the Christian life is truly about when you get down to it, that we bring glory to him with and in our lives. A.W. Tozer made this statement. He said, when I realize that everything happening to me is to make me more Christ-like, it resolves a great deal of anxiety. The next time there is something in your life or mine which is causing anxiety, the next news that breaks about COVID-19, and you start getting a little anxious, a little weak in the knees, you want to call up pastor and say, what are we going to do now? Stop and prayerfully consider, will this matter in eternity? Will this matter in eternity? Is this something which should be making me more Christ-like? And finally, is this something which God can use to bring glory to Christ in my life? Are you glad you're saved tonight? Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the chance we have and have had to be here. We thank you for the opportunity that we've had to look into your word, and truly, truly we hope that the message, the thoughts were a blessing and encouragement to all. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless Pastor, the staff here, the B-Saws as they get settled in. Lord, bless them especially. Lord, I pray that you would be with Beacon, and Lord, bless all of the members. And Lord, we thank you for that. We pray all these things in your name, the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.